Is there pork?
Oh, that's a different date. Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you again this Sunday. Remember, we're in the season after Pentecost, that long, almost half a year season when our readings nurture us in the faith, how to be disciples, but also how to be apostles, to be believers, but also to be doers of Jesus. Now, our gospel lesson this morning continues from where last Sunday's ended. Jesus is continuing to instruct the 12 apostles on what it will be like for them to be sent out to do the ministry that he, Jesus, had already been doing. Much like last week, it is a sobering instruction. Jesus addresses the fears of those 12 apostles, the fear that they will be opposed by many as Jesus had been opposed by many. What the apostles fear, I think, is conflict. The very thing we fear as apostles or doers of Jesus, conflict. One day this past week, I was skimming through some of my old running magazines. I've been a jogger for decades. Some of my better friends remind me I'm only a jogger and not a runner. Anyway, I was skimming through them, getting ready to throw them out, when I was struck by the back cover of one of those, and the back cover had a running shoes advertisement on it. And the page is mostly a photo, a barren western landscape, scrub grass, a few low hills, and the view is looking far into the distance. A two-lane local blacktop road with low and dark clouds hovering over. It looks dangerous. The only indication of human life is one lone runner way in the distance. And at the bottom of the cover are these words. The road wants to break you. Will you let it? So that's kind of the theme, actually, of our gospel this morning. The world wants to break you. Will you let it? Much like having the right running shoe to tackle the road, that is the brand being advertised, Jesus had already given these 12 apostles his authority to proclaim the good news. Authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure diseases and every sickness. Having said that, the 12 apostles also knew that many rejected Jesus' message with great hostility. So the 12 apostles are not only concerned about conflict, they're anxious. They fear violent hostility. Along with all of that, Jesus is now challenging the apostles. He's essentially saying, the world out there wants to break you, will you let it? He tells them in so many words, expect trouble. Expect to be called one of the many names for the devil, like Beelzebul. Expect to be misrepresented. Jesus says to them, rather, speak boldly. Proclaim from the housetops what I have taught you privately. Speak dangerously, and therefore be heard. Now, Jesus doesn't leave it there. He gives them assurances. He says, do not fear those who kill the body, for they cannot kill the soul. God will never abandon you. How could he? For God even knows when a small sparrow falls. It also talks about in the gospel that God knows every hair on your head. Well, that's not a very good illustration for me. So I want to talk about sparrows. Sparrows and other small birds, as is true today, were very common in Jesus' time. Some people trapped and sold them. They were cheap, but they were small and therefore didn't provide much meat. Nevertheless, poor people bought them to eat and also to offer as sacrifices at the temple. The point Jesus is making is that sparrows were insignificant at that time. Yet God cared about them. Jesus tells the apostles, you are worth more than a sparrow, so God will care for you. Finally, Jesus offers some warnings to the 12. Following him is going to result in family strife. Expect it if you go against the religion of your family. That is the religion of those Jesus had described as the lost sheep of Israel. The road you will follow if you follow me, that road will try to break you. Will you let it? What Jesus was talking about, excuse me, was the cost of discipleship, the cost of apostleship, the cost of being a follower as well as being a doer of Jesus. Put yourself in the shoes of those original 12. What they have up to this point in time, traveling with Jesus, are their observations of what he has been doing. Now they have been given his authority, they have been given assurances, and they have been given warnings. You and I have all of that also because we just heard it. But we have more than they had. More than the original 12 had. That's because we have the Apostle Paul. Paul, remember, never met Jesus. He had been a persecutor of those people who were following the way, a name for the early followers of Jesus before they were named Christians. Paul was struck blind by Jesus on the road to Damascus, where he had been sent to even do more persecuting. But Paul was transformed. He was resurrected as a new person. We, as followers and doers of Jesus after Paul, have at least some of the letters he wrote to those early churches around the Mediterranean, including today the community in Rome. What does Paul say in our second lesson, the epistle this morning? Well, Paul helps us to understand how our own baptism strengthens us for the road we travel. Remember, baptism is one of the seven sacraments of the church. It's how, in a sense, we enter the faith. For Paul, baptism is more than just a reenactment of something mentioned in both the Old and the New Testaments. Baptism for Paul is how we enter into being with Christ. Now, by my count, the phrase with Christ occurs six times in our lesson today from Romans. That's the importance of it. Paul insists that we are the body of Christ because in our baptism we are enmeshed into Jesus Christ. We are incorporated. We are attached. We are welded. We become one with Jesus Christ. I think it's more than interesting that in many new Episcopal church buildings or in those being renovated, a baptismal pool is being installed where you can actually be submerged at baptism. Why? Why would a church do that? Well, because in the time of Jesus and even in today's time in other churches, people are baptized in rivers, bodies of water. I think there's one not too far west of here, is there not? A body of water? If you are baptized in some kind of a body of water, when you are submerged, pushed down, or thrown back into the water, however briefly, you die with Jesus. Because being submerged represents the death of Jesus. And when they pull you up out of the water, you are resurrected with Jesus to newness of life. We are more than a body of like-minded Christians or a denomination. We are the body of Christ. So, what might we do in our time and in this place as the body of Christ? First, be an active member of the fellowship here, the fellowship shared at St. Catherine's, and be a part of the mission of St. Catherine's to the community and beyond. If you look at the mission statement on the front of your service leaflet, it says, the mission of St. Catherine's is to nurture each other. Active membership, right? In the knowledge and love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to share the good news with all. How? Well, we can review the baptismal covenant in the prayer book, pages 304 and 5, and I invite you to do that at your leisure. But in summary, in our daily life, as disciples, believers, and as apostles, doers, We need to respect all other people, be honest in our dealings with others, and also to show ourselves as the body of Christ. We are his feet in our time. We carry his message with us wherever we go. We are his ears. We need to listen to what people are saying, are crying out for. We are his eyes to see what he would see, and his mouth to proclaim his message. The road of life wants to break you. Don't let it. The third lesson this morning comes from Genesis, our Old Testament lesson. We are confronted with the story of Hagar, and Ishmael. And the lesson tells us that Sarah's jealousy overcomes her own complicity in childbearing. Sarah is no angel. When Sarah's own child, Isaac, is born by her own body, she no longer has any use for Hagar, the slave whose body bore Ishmael by her husband's seed, and she had agreed to do that since she never thought she'd have a child. She convinces Abraham to have Hagar and Ishmael thrown out, and we're told all Abraham gave Hagar was some bread and a skin of water and sent them in the wilderness. But God teaches that God does not throw out or abandon those who have been abandoned. God never forgets those who are forgotten, nor for that matter any whom we forget. The road, as described in the lesson in the wilderness, did not break Hagar or Ishmael. In lifting up their own voices to God to be heard, God heard them and then God intervened. Perhaps we can incorporate this story into our own Christian journey. Perhaps in this time and place that we live in, as the noted Bible scholar Paul Achtermeyer wrote, and I quote him, "Yes, we are members of God's covenant community, but that does not mean that God loves or favors us any more than God loves other people, of whatever race or whatever status." And he goes on to write, "In fact, the status which we are called is to be a servant people to the rest of humanity," unquote. Yes, the journey, the road through our world does and will at times want to break us. But our hope and our assurance through Jesus in being the body of Christ is that this road will not and cannot break us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.